Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And you just had the SEC spring meetings down in Destin. And I can't believe I missed it because I was there. Like, I was there until Monday. And I guess it was Monday, Tuesdays when the meetings were. I hate I didn't just, like,
kind of a flex.
Hang around, snoop around. But anyways, there's a lot of good sound bites. I mean, every coach had a media session. Golish had a really good media session. And there's a really interesting conversation around NIL, and it came – we're going to focus on Mike Elko today and then kind of see where it goes, because he had an interesting quote, and I'm going to read it to you, Ben. And I'm going to give you a fact, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about it, okay? So here's the quote, all right? If we don't find a way to create some level of regulation in the market, a lot of people are going to go bankrupt pretty quick. We're 2.5 years away from having an NIL budget that's greater than the TV revenue for our entire university. That's pretty wild. Okay, now I'm going to give you a fact, and I'm going to tell you if there's a conflict. I want you to let me know if there's a conflict here. Okay, so he's complaining about or concerned about rosters being too expensive. Texas A&M, according to, I believe, On3 or whoever, has the 7th highest overall roster valuation for 2026 at $38.9 million.
Holy moly.
Is there a conflict there, Ben?
So, I get torn on stuff like this because...
Because I've seen a lot of people saying, like, well, bro, you're the one causing the inflation kind of thing. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of. Like, how can you complain about it?
I do think he's part of the problem. I think some of these coaches are part of the problem because they get into a quote-unquote bidding war with other schools for over athletes, over stars, over starters, especially transfer portal, because you got guys that'll say, I ain't even going to talk to anybody without being promised $2 million.
Yeah.
It's like their watermark. Like, I ain't even going to discuss things with you unless you. And so when they see a need, they're like, oh, yeah, well, we'll give them $4 million. Like, it's almost like these coaches are opening their mouth before they realize what they've got themselves into. And it climbs to, I mean, Kyle, you heard the number that we heard from an Auburn perspective. Like, you know, it's supposed to be, the budget's going to be $21 million. Well, then you find out people like Texas A&M are spending 38, and it's like, well, crap, we can't compete with that, so we're going to have to go over 21. Like, we're going to have to go up. And so it's not like anybody asked permission, and it's not like you can cap it. And maybe that's what he's talking about with the regulations. Maybe there really is a cap. Maybe there is, you know, you can't go over this dollar amount, period. Otherwise, you're going to either lose players or be punished by games or be suspended. Something, be fined. I don't know how they're going to do it, but how do you regulate that? Because then he's just going to go back to under the table money like we were before. Like, you get to your 21, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, that's all right. We got 20 that they don't know about that we're just going to start putting in people's bank accounts. And so you're back to square one. So I kind of get what he's saying, but I also think he's part of the problem of throwing – numbers out there to players and families and representation, you know, that they talk to without, I don't know, like talking to their accountant going, hey, man, how much do we have? Well, this kid's asking for 6. Man, you ain't got 6. Well, that's what I'm telling him we're giving him. So then they got to go find more money after that. So
here's my question, though. Because I listen to it, too, and like, Is it that he's part of the problem, or is that he has no option?
I don't think he has an option. I think
that's where I come in. That's where I push back when people say, you know, you're doing it, bro. Just don't pay so much. It's like, well,
then he's not going to win.
Do you have an option right now? In the way that this thing's set up, or should I say, the lack of the way this thing is set up. Do you have an option to overpay?
We've already gone from, it's not name, image, and likeness. It's just paying players.
Here's a funny, this is a story. this is a story, and it's with Texas A&M. Okay, yeah. It's with Texas A&M. I'm not going to talk about the kid's name, but there was a kid that Auburn was high on. There was a kid that Auburn was very, very high on in, I think, two years ago, maybe two recruiting classes ago.
Okay.
He's a defensive end, pass rusher from Georgia, whatever. Doesn't matter. That's kind of beyond the point. Auburn's really high on him. He's really high on Auburn. He gets predictions to come to Auburn, and then all of a sudden he goes on to Texas A&M and he gets a commitment, like right there, like he commits to Texas A&M. And come to find out, the numbers were like not even remotely close. Like the numbers were almost double or triple what Auburn was offering.
Okay.
So like that's the thing. And I don't know if it's necessarily you got to double everything or triple everything, but if you want an elite player right now, like 90% of the conversation is money. I mean, yes. It just is. We can pretend all we want to that it's all about the, the university, and it's about, you know, relationships. And there's a small piece of that. But for the most part, if you're just not going to take less money when things are kind of equal, you're just not going to do it.
Not so, when it's that much, Kyle. I mean, we're talking we're talking money that you and I ain't made in our careers yet. And they're getting that check stroked up front at 18, 19, 20 years old. And you and I in our careers have not netted that kind of money. And
Josh Dobson is the number six player in the country. He's coming in on an official visit this weekend, and it's Auburn and basically Texas A&M. Like, they're going to – they've got more money than Auburn, period. Yes. And that's the name of the game, to go get as many great players as you can, and this kid's going to make seven figures as a freshman, and he's probably going to go to Texas A&M. I mean, that just kind of is what it is. So until – there is some sort of rule or collective bargaining, which I don't even know how you do the collective bargaining piece, because we do have a cap on rev share, but teams are spending over and above the rev share based off of NIL and sponsorships. And that happens in the NFL as well. Like, guys, like if I go sign with Kansas City, there's a salary cap. You know, I can only get paid like whatever percentage they decide to give me in the salary cap. But then, like, I can go earn as much as I want to with, like, Gillette and Coors Light and, you know, insert brand.
Yeah.
So there is no cap there. So how do you cap that? That's the part.
It's already been tried. People forget how this works. It's already been tried in the coaching aspect. And the reason I say that is because – Nick Saban, when he got hired by Alabama, his salary was not $4 million a year. His salary on the books was less than the governor's at the time that he got hired, because they used to have that rule in place that you couldn't make more than the governor in the state of Alabama. But they funneled money through Mercedes and Townsend Ford and Alpha and places like that. That got him to $4 million.
Let's make sure we're just using those as examples. Let's not say like for sure that they were giving him money. So we aren't
right. But slapped. Well, they did it through the university, like through a program, but it was earmarked to go towards his, but like his legit, like what he was on the books for salary wise was not $4 million. And they're going to have to start doing that with football players. Yes, we will get you. Kyle, I know you want to come play with us. I know that your number is $2.5 million. We're going to get you $2.5 million. However, it's going to be laid out like this, because I need to show on the books that you're getting paid $500,000, and then I'm going to get the rest through this. So it's going to have to be some sort of funny accounting that takes place in order to stay under that. So even if they come up with a hard cap that you got to pay a quote-unquote luxury tax like they have to do in baseball. Baseball's already figured out a way. Look at the Ohtani contract. Is he's doing deferred money. So to keep them under the cap. He's only making like $1 million a year. But when he gets done, they're going to stroke him a check for like $60 million. So they're fine. Like, people are finding creative ways to do things. And so that's my thing to Elko, is you're going to be like, all right, you need to go to your university and find a creative way to get around this, because it clearly is not – it ain't going away. I see his point, because he's right. 20 years from now, Kyle, we can't depend on these people to keep giving $10, $15, $20 million a year to a university, because it's at some point when there's no results there. Yeah, I use this example with that Michigan quarterback when he got signed as a freshman. They stroked him a check for $10 million. Whether he stayed 3 years or 4 years, he's getting $10 million.
Yeah.
That guy that stroked that check for $10 million, if there ain't some sort of national championship run out of Michigan in the next 4 years that he's there, that guy's going to be like, I ain't giving you $10 million next time. My return on my investment did not work. So I get where Elko's coming, that right now the spending is outweighing what we think is the revenue, but they're going to have to find some creative ways to fix it.
And I just don't think you can. I don't think you can get creative.
I know.
I don't know how you do it if prices keep going up. Let's talk about how we can possibly solve this problem here in just a second. But before we do that,
fixing college football.
What's that?
Are we back to fixing college football again?
Kind of, maybe, but it's going to be specific to this topic. Go to buyauburn.com if you're looking to do business. Start with Auburn people, man. If you got to buy something, start with Auburn people. We got a bunch of businesses all across the Southeast right now. We want to go across the country. If you're a business owner and you're an Auburn fan, alumni, whatever your connection is to Auburn, it's less than $1 a day, man. We talk about it on every single one of our shows.
Yeah,
we even do podcasts about the show. So great investment there for the exposure. And then obviously if you're just a patron, do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com. Go to aushirts.com. I got my new hat on today, my bug hat. There's a bunch of new styles that we uploaded recently. We just uploaded Daryl's cornbread gangster shirt too. So if you want to support that and be a cornbread gangsta. Check it out. AUShirts.com. So Ben, let's take Mike Elko for his word. And he says, you know, we got to fix this thing. No one wants to be the first.
Nope.
No one wants to be the first guy, because again, if you do that, you're going to get your A beat. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is not going to make it. So if there was like a coaches association that are a coaches something where they all agree to terms, they all agree to rules. I don't know how you enforce it, but they all agree to it. Like, would that not be considered, without the player signing off on it too, would that not be considered collusion? Like, you don't really have, like, what are your options? I don't know what they are. Because it's like, let's say the SEC coaches get together this weekend and they're like, okay, here's the deal, guys. We're not going to pay quarterbacks more than X amount. We're not going to pay wide receivers more than X amount, and so on and so forth. And they all sign and agree on it. Like, can you even do that legally?
No.
That's price fixing, isn't it?
It's price fixing, and they're not going to agree to it. They're going to get to that number, and then they're going to be back under the table money. We're going to have McDonald's sacks being dropped off again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not sustainable to go that route, because as far as having an ultimate fix, bottom line, at the end of the day, they got to win, because if they don't win, they're getting fired, and they're going to be moved on. So in order to win, you've got to get those players in there to be able to play. And at this point, the way the market has set itself, you got to pay those players to get them in to play.
Yeah.
So even if they signed off on it, they're going to have – the bag man is back, baby. I mean, that's
– correct, but the bag man is – dropping 20 grand and 50 grand in cash, not another $1 million in NIL deals.
Right.
Over and above. You see what I'm saying? Like, the bag – that to me is more sustainable if you have an agreed upon salary cap that to me is way, I'd rather be in that ballpark. I'd rather be in that game than what we're in right now. I mean, just from an Auburn perspective, like Auburn can be respectable. I think Auburn can be competitive in the NIL space, but they're never going to be, Auburn's never going to be like a $40, $50 million roster. No. Never.
No. I mean, we're not in a, again, you got Texas and Texas A&M. I mean, you said it a couple of shows ago. I mean, you got a friggin' Lamborghini dealership rolling out Lamborghinis when they walk in the stadium in Texas, saying any one of these can be yours. And I know people are like, yeah, but that's kind of, it's still, that's
that like just 30 million feels like
38.
I'm talking about for Auburn, 30 million, which is that number that was talked about whenever Golish was hired. 30 million, we're like, dang, man, we're there. You know, we're going to be kicking A. Like, we're going to be busting it in the portal and blah, 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 blah. And you look, and Texas is $48 million. You know?
$48 million, Texas A&M 38 with the ability to go up, Kyle. Texas A&M can. I mean, that let's not act like that's their cap, $38 million. They got tons of oil money they can pay for that.
And then
you got your private universities, your Miamis, your Notre Dames, your USCs of the world that have ungodly amounts of money that if they decide to start flexing, it's going to get up there as well. They don't yet, but they can. We were talking about with baseball this weekend, UCF coming in. UCF's got 57,000 undergrad students. Do you think that alumni base could start paying money to get kids to go to school there? I mean, they're putting through 57,000 kids a semester. And that's so
a lot of folks.
I mean, and when you count in, because Zach and I did the numbers, you count in undergrad and graduate folks, it's north of 70,000 per semester. And you think that they can't reach out to their alumni base? Like, it's 30 million is a lot of money, but that's not going to hold a candle to some of these other programs that are out in the country. And when they decide to start flexing and realize how to play the game, it's a different, it's going to come down to some of the programs aren't going to make it. Bottom line,
in my opinion. When you say programs, it's probably going to be programs within the program too. There's going to be a lot of programs within the programs that are going to be cut, like
soccer programs, both men and women at some schools. You know, non-revenue sports. If it's not making money, they just can't have it on campus,
or at least getting close to breaking even. Yes. You know, kind of thing.
I guess that's the thing. If they're not close to coming out of the red, then they're getting booted.
Like Auburn has an unbelievable track and field program. What's the kid's name? Jacoby Tharp. He's like got world records.
Yeah.
He's unreal. How can track remain?
It doesn't make money
before long. Like it's never gonna make it.
Track, volleyball, soccer. I mean, none of it makes money. And tennis. They have revenue, but they're not bringing in money. They're not bringing in what it's going to take to survive $30 million a year to fill the program. So it's going to hurt. I don't know the answer. I don't know. You know, everybody always says, well, if you do legislation, I don't know that getting the government involved is the way to do it either, because they're going to want their cut at some point in time. Will the government? They're not going to do it for free. Like you just alluded to earlier, you can't sit all these coaches down and ask them to sign some sort of contract that they won't do this, because the next greatest player that comes along that takes them over that limit, they're going to sign them. They're going to do what it takes to get them in.
The only way is you have to have it's got to become an actual league. Like, you got to be a league. Yeah. You have to have a league commissioner. You have to have a players union. And you have to have rules that everybody agrees upon. Like, you have a collective bargaining deal that everybody agrees upon, and then actually have an enforcement arm where it's like, I don't know, can you subpoena bank records. Like, you can do whatever, anytime there, you can protect against tampering. Like, you can subpoena phone records. Like, you actually have power. Until then, it's going to just continue to spin. It's like Congress and Trump and Tommy Tuberville and all these guys, they can put all these acts they want out there. But until college football decides as a whole, and Kirby somewhat alluded to this.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother episode. But until that happens, we're just spinning our wheels, and the prices are going to keep going up. And I agree with Mike Elko, and I don't necessarily blame him either, because hey, if I don't spend it, somebody is. Miami's going to spend it. You know, Texas is going to spend it. Somebody's going to spend it. And that's just the name of the game right now. Ben, with all this conversation, and I'm not throwing you under the bus, and I think a lot of people felt the same way you felt. But when you have conversations like this and you actually see numbers play out, does it make the move of the game from Auburn to Baylor, the Auburn-Baylor game to Atlanta, make sense is not the right word, because I think on paper no one can argue that it didn't make sense. But, like, does it make it, I guess, more palatable, like easier to digest that's what Auburn had to do?
No, I don't think that's throwing me under the bus. What I think that depends on who you ask. If you're asking the athletic department, yes. If you're asking those small businesses that depend on that money down at Auburn to come in that weekend, they're gonna be completely against it.
What you're saying is, like, you're asking people with what their interest is, like what you're asking. How this impacts your self-interest. What I'm asking is, we can speak for someone else's business decision. Like, we can say, no, your business decision doesn't help me, but it's the right business decision. That's kind of what I'm at. Like, does it make it seem more like the right decision now from a business standpoint? Yeah, it sucks for the local restaurants. It sucks for them, and they're going to say no 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10. But like, if you change the shoes, put them in the other shoes, does it make more sense now when you start to really break it down?
No. And I said this from the beginning, from an Auburn athletics department standpoint, it totally makes sense, because that money, if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't go towards your NIL cap either.
It's free and clear. It's already approved. Free money.
And so, I like, from an Auburn, because that's the thing. You brought it up to me because you said the Auburn athletic director's got to do what's in the best interest for the Auburn athletic department. And that is true, because that is a business just like Elizabeth Boutique, Tumors Drugs, 1716, all those places downtown. Auburn Athletic Department is its own business, just like they have their own business. So it made total sense for them to do that. And I think that is the way of the future. People better get used to it, because there are already other teams talking about doing this in the coming years. What is Georgia Clemson? They're going through it right now. What you and I had a deep discussion about, they're wanting to go to a neutral site with Georgia and Clemson, for that reason, because that neutral site is going to pay them an ass load of money to come play there. And people keep showing clips of, like, Clemson and Dabo running down the hill. It's like, fans won't get this. And they're showing clips of Between the Hedges. Fans won't get this. And I'm like, yeah, but the athletic departments, because we're going through it at Auburn, is going to get $10 million that's not going to count towards their cap that they can use to bring in players. So that's why they're making the decision to do it. So I've said, I get why Auburn made that decision to do it. And it's not that it softens the blow. It's when you crunch the numbers, it makes sense to do it. I still don't like it from a fan experience. That's fine.
Like, that's totally fine. But I think and what I'm saying is, like, it's not necessarily from just a athletic department perspective. Like, I think anybody can say, I think anybody that looks at it rationally and looks at the landscape and looks at how the thing works, even if it hurts your business, if you're saying what's the right decision, I think you look at this and it's hard to argue that this was the right move. And it's going to stink, but it, you know, just kind of is what it is until some things change. Let us know what you think in the comments. Let us know what you think about Mike Elko's quotes. Is he a hypocrite, or could he do more to help this?
I think hypocrite's a strong word towards him. I think he's saying the quiet part out loud, and a lot of people don't like it. Sure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I don't think he'd have been a hypocrite if he'd come out and said, I don't believe we should be paying players as much as we play them. And then he goes and he pays them.
Yeah.
Instead, I think he's think he's questioning the overall big picture
of where this thing's headed.
Yeah, if where it's headed, and
I got no choice to do this.
Right. And
but
I don't
where think, it's headed, I don't like where it's headed.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people are looking at it from a 10, 15, 20 year perspective like he is, because Kyle, he's got to spend the money because he's got to have the players because he's got to win the games. Are they going to tell his ass to go find another job somewhere? 100%. So, I mean, that's why he's also looking at it from a personal perspective because he's got something on the now. The way coaches get paid now and their buyout money, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, dude, that's where we need to start getting – we need to start looking at coaches' salaries.
That's a whole nother show. Coaches' buyout money? I mean, come on, brother.
Yeah. Let's get back to the, you know, that $2, $3 million range for coaches.
Is that the hypocrite part that people are talking about online? Because
No, it's okay. The total roster value.
I was going to say, because if he gets housed right now, I mean, I'm sure his buyout's probably north of $20
million. Yeah, it's crazy. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.